Yeah, hi. And my first job in sexual health was in Wollongong in Port Kembla. And then I moved to work at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. And we were working on a national research project and needed to identify groups of young people that we would find out about. And so we started with rural and remote young people. And then we went to homeless young people. And then Lyn Hillier put forward the idea that we would focus on same-sex attracted young people. And that had to be argued for in the national research setting because perhaps there weren't enough numbers to justify that research. And Doreen Rosenthal, Professor Doreen Rosenthal at the time, head of the centre, went into bat for that research to take place. And so writing themselves in became quite possibly the first national survey to find out how same-sex attracted young people were going. And we framed that label as a way to try and recognise that young people didn't necessarily have a label, but that it might still be creating particular concerns for them. And I remember my job was not as researcher, but to consult communities around getting the research done. And I will never forget how many principals said to me, "I've never seen a gay student at my school." So, the other thing, just to kind of frame it, was that we were asking about same-sex attracted young people. We weren't asking about trans and gender diverse. We weren't asking about non-binary. And I just want a little bit of history. So that was 1998. We advertised in Dolly Smash Hits, and oh, there was one other mag, and Dolly wouldn't take the ad because they might lose their advertisers. Yeah, anyway, so the olden days. But I'll tell you, one thing we did know, even then, was that in the images that we wanted to use to attract young people to participating in this survey, we had images of happy young people. And I guess we've kind of always known that in order for me to be able to act on your advice or to feel better about my situation in life, let's not put images of suicidal young people up there. So I'm going to come back to that in a second. But we sort of, it's a mistake we keep on making in sort of slightly different ways, you know, around sexual health, I think. Now, the other thing, so can I also say that Lyn Hillier is a lesbian, and that's important. Now, I'll come back to that too. I've got a lot to thank lesbians for in my life. That was 1998. Then in 2007, I was working with Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, and we were harassed by a group called Transgender Project Melbourne. And these young people wanted to make a resource for trans young people. And they were not high on our list of priorities. And so I worked with these young people to make a booklet that we called GQ, Gender Questioning, that was to provide information specifically for gender questioning young people. So why am I telling you this background? Because just to assert that a priority for education, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, is to continue to stop harmful approaches that frame trans and gender diverse young people as victims, as having no hope, as being lonely, and having no support. We will only serve to make them sicker if we present things in that way. And that, in fact, so many of the contributions that come for specific populations of people come from the people themselves, and that our jobs are to, when I say our, I mean maybe straight allies or whoever else is in the system, is to facilitate that process. So that's the first thing I want to say. Now, The other thing I'd like to comment on in terms of the importance of work, I work mainly in mainstream settings in schools. And of course, after the Safe Schools debacle, nightmare, I've been working as a consultant the last few years, and when schools invite me to come in and maybe help them write curriculum or whatever, the next question that might come back a week later is, yes, I put it forward to the principal and he wants to know, have you got anything to do with that Safe Schools mob? So it makes a difference. It makes a tremendous difference to the confidence of schools to do something risky, and this is still seen as quite risky. So visibility makes a difference, and Georgie Stone is a young trans woman in Melbourne, has just been on Neighbours, or is currently on Neighbours, and she took part in writing the script for that, and it's amazing what I've seen so far. And so she explains to one of the characters, you really hurt me because you said I used to be a boy. I never used to be a boy. I've always been me. And so that capacity to articulate those things is worth $1 million, and that will be really important for, continue to be important for us in the future. So in terms of our educational efforts, I think that if we can support those sorts of efforts to promote sort of normality and acceptability and how to talk about things is super important. Georgie was even, I think, in Women's Weekly. So, you know, yay, that's great to just keep getting those examples going. Now, it's not only important for young people to see positive images of themselves, it is important for the school principals and other people. And the other things that we can do to strengthen schools or school-based supports is to include trans and gender diverse young people in the curriculum and in the sexuality curriculum. And it may well be that our sex education is the worst offender in terms of not including trans and gender diverse young people. I will just add this aside though. So in preparation for today, I rang a few people who are working directly with, I'm not working directly with trans and gender diverse young people right now. So I feel, you know, there'll be people in this audience that know a lot more than me. But some of the advice I did get was that in fact, this member of the Parents of Gender Diverse Children said that I would prefer that you didn't talk about this issue in the context of sex education, because in some ways sex ed is sort of a bit of a ghetto subject, number one. Beg your pardon. It's very important. And but number two, it should be talked about in the context of respecting diversity, not when you're sitting there looking at a bunch of naked bodies and talking about body parts and so on. So I thought that that was an interesting thing. I'll continue to think about that, and I'd be interested in your thoughts. Now, the other thing was, when we're talking to school principals, it's important that we know that, in fact, there are a lot of supports that exist and support our work in this area. The Australian curriculum, I know it's been criticised for a lot of things, but it does have specific definitions of gender diversity and same-sex attraction. It's in there, and it has, the intro says we need to include and respect the experience, the life experience of gender diversity and same-sex attracted young people. So it's in there, and that's, so, you know, schools need that to cover their themselves. And the other thing is that policies do exist in states that provide clarity on affirming a young person's gender, about giving advice on toilets and change rooms. They exist. WA has a brilliant one. South Australia has a brilliant one. I don't know all of them, about respecting pronouns, about having non-gendered school uniforms, and about dealing with gendered sports and so on. So good advice exists already, and record keeping, of course. Now, the research too tells us that staff support makes a big difference to a kid in a school. So, and I noticed in the Archers team before were showing us that when it came to trans and gender diverse young people, they are more likely to be using the youth worker and the school nurse and so on for support. So I think it's important to remember to kind of support those people. Now, we also know that local school policy makes a difference for LGBTQ, that you can actually see in writing themselves in, that the wellbeing measures are improved for young people in those schools where they exist. So that's another way we can support people to help them make that happen. Now, the other thing that I find super exciting, and this is from Tiffany Jones's research, and she's done a lot of tremendous work documenting what's going on in Australia with trans and gender diverse young people in schools, is that if a young person's involved in activism, student activism, even if you suspect it may not have a big difference in the long run, it has an immediate benefit for that young person. And that is super important because we urgently need to provide immediate benefits to many of these young people. And so student activism can be as sort of discreet, in a sense, as ticking a box on a Facebook survey. You know, that I can feel better if I've participated in that way, or if I help make it Wear It Purple Day happen at school, that will help me feel better. So that's got me thinking too about ways that I might work beyond what's in school curriculum. These are all the ways outside of school curriculum that we can make things better in education systems. Now, I've told you about that. So our work is so important, but, you know, right now we've got the religious freedom bills going up, right? It's so dangerous and destructive, and each time we have all of these things come up, we know that young people's mental health suffers. So maybe our solutions will be outside of education to assist them to be activists, to make responses towards these harmful and hateful political commentaries and actions. The religious freedom bills will allow, give greater freedoms for religious schools to chuck out gender diverse kids or teachers, and it's horrendous. Or not to affirm. I read one guy the other day saying it would be better for the child not to affirm their gender. As a side note, I was working with a large Catholic diocese in Victoria recently, and we were looking at other Catholic dioceses' work. One time's up. Okay. I just want to tell you that they called their policy a gender dysphoria policy. And I had to work hard to explain why that was a really shit idea. Here's my final thing. Minors 18 in Victoria, awesome, and I know we've got similar organisations in other states. They had a Queer Ideas Festival recently, and of all the things that those young people talked about from across Victoria, they wanted us to do sexual health education specific for LGBTQ, and they wanted us to take action against bullies in schools, still particularly for trans and gender diverse students. And I think that the architecture of school is so gendered, right? We're going to have to go outside the school building, and we're going to have to support youth-led content to talk about what I want to know about having sex with someone, negotiating sex and consent. And so that's where my education efforts will be focused on, is around writing content that supports young people in love, sex and relationships. Okay, thank you. Done.